You're listening to WBAI in New York as we engage in our spring membership drive. Please tune in. Hear your favorite shows on alternate weeks. During week three, we celebrate the arts, morning through night, and feature a special series celebrating the fun and creativity of the arts from 2 to 4 p.m. Also during week three, we dig deep into the affairs of the world, locally and globally, with a public affairs teach-in from 4 to 6 p.m. So stay tuned to WBAI 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. Support your radio station and favorite shows by calling 212-209-2950 or going to give2wbai.org.
Thursday, May 21st, starting at 6:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. Join Bob Law, State Assemblyman Charles Barron, Damon Jones from Blacks in Law Enforcement of America, Pastor T.J. Williams from the Lease of These campaign, and Walter Edwards from the Harlem Business Alliance for a live audience participation of Night Talk, broadcast live on WBAI 99.5 FM from Mist Harlem, 46 West 116th Street in the Village of Harlem in the Borough of Manhattan between Malcolm X and Fifth Avenues for a discussion titled Black America in Crisis, Which Way Forward? Free admission, community urge to attend.
Hi, everyone. Juliana Forlano here from the Juliana Forlano Show on WBAI in New York City. Hey, what are you doing the weekend of May 29th, 2015? I know where I'll be, at the Left Forum. Have you been? If not, you're missing the most powerful, transformational conversations of the year.
You're here. I can see your eyes sparkling because you're on fire, not just for justice, but we're talking about revolution.
If you don't give us reform, you will get revolution.
Oh, yes. We embrace the reformers, those who want to tinker. Okay, if you want to be incremental, fine, but just don't stop there. We're calling for fundamental transformation of American capitalist society.
When was the last time you got to hear people talking like this?
Capitalism and democracy are not synonymous. They've been on opposite sides of each other since the advent of the Republic.
Come add your voice to these powerful discussions. Left Forum, May 29th through the 31st at the John Jay College of Criminal Justice in New York City. For more information, go to leftforum.org.
On Saturday, May 30th, thousands of people will gather in New York City to march for the freedom of Oscar Lopez Rivera. Oscar Lopez Rivera is a Puerto Rican political prisoner who has served 34 years in prison for fighting for the independence of Puerto Rico, my country. 12 of those years were served in complete isolation. He's 72 years old. He is a Vietnam veteran. He has never been charged with any violent crime. This is a human rights issue. Join us on May 30th when we will tell President Obama that 34 years is enough. It is time to free Oscar Lopez Rivera.
tuned to WBAI Radio in New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org. I'm Catherine Davis, in studio with...
Paulette Spencer.
I'm not sure if your mic is up, Paulette. Let me try this again. With...
Paulette Spencer.
There you are.
There I am.
We'll get there. And we are joined also by phone from, let's see, can we hear you, our mystery guest?
Can you hear me?
I do hear you, yes.
Great. Perfect.
And we're joined by Jeremiah Hosea. Thank you so much for joining us today. You're listening to Earth at Midnight. And Earth at Midnight is a fusion program, and it mixes in the sensibilities of Heart of Mind, which is a program that I have hosted for some 10 years here over WBAI, and it brings in the influence and the inspiration of Earthwatch, produced by Robert Knight, who is the predecessor in this time slot. And we are here with you today to talk to you about supporting WBAI. And it's a very poignant and very important radio station. And we love this opportunity to be here with you. And we want for you to show us your love as well through your phone calls. And we'll go into our offerings a little bit more in just a moment. But I wanted, interestingly enough, this program is co-hosted by myself and Paulette, and we're being joined by Jeremiah, who is one of the most revolutionary performers, musicians, artists out there on the scene. And actually, this week on WBAI, we have been promoting our arts programming. And while this program, Earth at Midnight, Heart of Mine, is a fusion program, I thought it would be interesting, Jeremiah, if you started out by telling our listeners why it's important to be a conscious artist.
Well, you know, because your art affects the people who hear it. And, you know, that's one thing that, for example, Anthony Braxton, who I'm a big fan of, always points out, is he says, you know, you can like my music, you can dislike it, but I do not intend to hurt anybody with this music. And I think music really is that powerful. You know, I think we think it's something in the background, but it's not in the background. I think it's controlling people sometimes. I think it's quite in, you know, quite in the foreground, but sometimes in not noticing that, then the effect becomes even more hypnotic and more powerful. And, you know, Fela Kuti said, music is the weapon of the future, and we're seeing that being played out now. I mean, music is being used to stupefy a generation and stupefy the general public. I mean, you turn on the radio and, you know, if they're not telling you to actually kill people or rape people, basically, which is like exalted in popular culture, then they're just saying, you know, go to the bar, get in your car, go spend money. You know, and those are the good songs. That's a positive song when you say that.
Oh, boy. Yeah, so, I think that's something that I've always been struck by in your music. This is Paulette. It's profoundly spiritual, and it's it to me, it's the combination of the energy that you put out in the whole experience of the rhythm and the amazing skill of the musicians that you choose to be with you, and the sort of standards, and it's quite an experience listening
well,
to your music.
I appreciate that so much. You know, yeah. I really, really do, because I feel like there's this misunderstanding that when people hear you're a musician, unfortunately, you know, people think, oh yeah, that's cute, or, you know, you're someone up there trying to be cute. And I look at it like I'm part of a legacy. I'm trying to maintain a really vital human form of expression. I feel like just this act of making music is so ancient and so important, and it brings people together. You know, people come together to hear music. I think that's one of its simple powers, is aside from the music, we can do so many other things. We can listen to music and then eat, or eat and then listen to music.
And I think it also forms your legacy, so that many, many, many years from now, you know, there will be those people who are very fortunate to hear your music live. And then there'll be those people who will be talking about the music that they listened to when, you know, when they were at your concerts and heard your CDs or heard your performances. And the legacy will be quite rich.
Yeah, I really appreciate everything that you're saying. I really, really do. And, you know, one thing I learned from one of my good friends, Bemshi, who's a vocalist I've had the honor of performing with over the years, is she told me a long time ago, look, if you're trying to make music to be some kind of big star or try to be a millionaire or something, it's going to be a painful road. But if you understand how rich it is, just the playing of the music itself and all the friends that you get to make the music with, there's nothing better in the world. And, you know, that's something, thanks to her, I realized early in my career, and it was totally true what she said. I wouldn't change, you know, my life or my life path at all, because it's just been so incredible. You know, it's been more magical than I ever could have hoped, and, you know, and I'm going to keep on that magic carpet ride for as long as I can, because I've said it before on the BAI airwaves, and I'll say it again, you know, there's no reverse bomb button. Unfortunately, there's not just some magical thing that we can do to bring everybody back to life who's been senselessly killed in Iraq or Afghanistan or Libya or the Congo or Palestine or elsewhere. You know, the only thing that we can do in response is live like human beings, making music, taking care of each other, taking care of the planet Earth, taking care of ourselves.
Well, that is very powerful. As you were talking, I was thinking very much the same thing in terms of the work that I do, which is really about coming to a deeper inner understanding, a spiritual understanding, and really coming to grips with what it means to be a human being. And I feel that the arts play a great role in that, as does the politics of the day, as does, just as you said, basic human understanding and learning to treat each other decently, and also being willing to stand up, make a stand, and be willing to work towards change and improvement in the world. So all of these things come together to create us as an expression, as a true divine being in the world. I think every aspect of it is important.
Absolutely. Actually, I'm a big fan of Guy Debord, the self-proclaimed leader of the Situationist International. I really love the writing and philosophy of the Situationist, and I recommend any BAI listener who hasn't heard of the Situationist, check it out. There's a great book called The Revolution of Everyday Life, and there's the classic Society of the Spectacle, which is, I think, exactly what we're living in, by Guy Debord. And Debord says that the movement that we're going to engage in now is going to be a movement that necessarily will involve all the perpetually interacting aspects of social reality.
Wow. Well, that definitely sounds like something I'm going to have to pursue. And see, what the beauty of this radio station is that conversations like this can occur. And, you know, people can come together and share ideas and inspiration and information on how we can learn to grow with each other and as inspired by what we learn and what we're being taught through the airwaves. And it's really something that I'm hoping our listeners can connect with, because truthfully, WBAI is a worthy cause for support, and we are offering some rather fantastic fundraising premiums today, but I want for people to really have a perspective on why it's important to pick up the phone and call 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950. And I want to start, Paulette, with your perspective on why BAI is important.
Well, I came to WBAI as a listener in 1990. And so when I look back, it's 25 years that I've been following the station. And as it's evolved and I've evolved, I've seen how the quality and the attention to standards and the understanding of programmers of the importance that their work would have, and therefore the care they put into their program, influenced the way I saw the importance of the station, and that in turn influenced me intellectually. And so for a quarter of a century, I've considered it sort of an enriching resource in my life made the difference in me, even professionally. And as I sit back and look at the work of different programmers and sort of piece it together, I see how eclectic BAI has been, which is, to me, has been its strength, and how over time you have this wonderful body of work that's recording so many aspects of society, from local government, national, international, humor, art, music, of many different genres. And so I think having that kind of package on the air that spans over time is priceless.
Mm, I agree. And Jeremiah, what would you like to share about the value of WBAI and the influence it's played in your life?
Oh, I mean, I have so much to say about that. I mean, I really, really urge people to pick up the phone, call 212-209-2950, make a pledge to BAI, because listener-sponsored radio is a very affirming thing to be a part of. It's a very validating thing to be a part of. You know, we live in a crazy world. I think we could all agree that the world is pretty crazy. And, you know, it's really difficult to determine what the right thing to do is in a lot of cases. And one right thing you can do is support listener-sponsored radio, because then that's something that you can say in a discussion, for example. And people say, it's commonly asked, well, what are you doing about it, as we talk about the problems of the world? Well, one thing I do is I support listener-sponsored radio. I do not support corporate news, because, you know, people have to realize the contempt with which corporate news addresses them. You know, when you put critical life and death matters along with frivolous celebrity gossip, that's insulting. You know, and if you're going to insult me, I'm not going to sit around and watch. You know, there's so many different aspects of our community that will never get addressed in the so-called mainstream media. When it's like, no, that's not the mainstream. We're the mainstream. We are the people. And one thing we can do is maintain the people's radio station. So, you know, supporting BAI and listening to BAI is not the only thing that you should do as a concerned citizen, but it's a really solid first step. It's a really solid first step. And I want to speak even specifically to some of the different demographics, if you will, that might be out there. In terms of, look, if you're doing a little bit better than some of the other folks, if you're actually, say, you're middle class somehow, then, you know, don't be cheap, like my grandmother said. Don't be cheap. Okay? You know, donate. Do something good and donate. If you're broke and you're down and out, believe it or not, if you make a $20 donation, a $25 donation, $10 donation, just symbolically, it will make you feel better.
And accumulated, it makes a big difference.
It does. You know, I say if you've already donated, heck, donate again. You know, if you never donated, please donate for the first time. You know, that's what I say. It's a really good, conscientious first step in being a concerned citizen, a person of goodwill. And, you know, there are flaws with BAI. We all know this. But that's not a nice thing to do, to say, oh, well, this is imperfect, so I'm not going to support it. Well, it's the people's radio station, so it's all of our faults that it's not perfect. We have to all work to improve it. We have to all do our part to try to be more innovative in supporting the station. We have to endorse BAI in our communities better. We have to be more outspoken that we're BAI listeners and supporters. You know, so if there's something wrong with it, it's just like being a member of any team. You know, you don't go blaming people on the team. You say, I'm a part of the team. We're the team. We fix this.
I love that perspective. Thank you for that, Jeremiah. It's pretty special. And it is true. And for me, I would say certainly WBAI and broadcasting on this radio station for me has become a way of life. I believe that it has made a significant impact in the world. It's hard to measure. And I've heard a lot of people talk about, oh, well, there's so much media now, there's so much competition, BAI is not the only game in town. But I think it's important to recognize that BAI was the leader, created this genre of listener-supported radio. It didn't exist before Pacifica. And many of the leaders that we see out there in the alternate media took their cues from WBAI. A lot of the best journalists came through and were trained by WBAI. Democracy Now!, Amy Goodman, Jeremy Scahill. So many journalists started interning and working here, and many people have gone on to have wonderful careers and have gone on to do great work, but there's still a lot of great work to be done. There's still a lot of young people that need to have that resource to be able to walk into a place such as this and learn how to do professional radio, to do broadcasting, to do reporting, to be able to create music or to share their gift and their talents, as many of our programs do. And this, as Paulette said, the legacy of WBAI has still enormous potential. And to lose that would be like a massive loss, I think. It's like burning down the library in Alexandria when the Romans sacked Egypt and destroyed their legacy. How much knowledge has the world been deprived of? You know, when we think of these things, and WBAI gives us that opportunity to grow beyond, Jeremiah, is what you were talking about. Yeah, there are challenges, but the potential, will we ever be able to get this signal again? Would we ever be able to have this opportunity again if we allow it to slip through our fingers? I don't think so. You know, this is something that needs to be protected and preserved and supported. And remember, WBAI has always had more or less an open door. People can walk in and people can get involved in all kinds of ways as volunteers, become producers. Most of us just walked in the door one day and said, you know what, I want to do this too. That's how I started. I saw what people were doing, I volunteered, and I decided this is what I want to do with my life also. And so For all these reasons, we want you to call 212-209-2950 and make a pledge of support. I'll tell people what we're offering. That might help. We have two levels that we're offering today as a Fund Drive premium. Now, of course, you can pledge at any level, $5,000, $10,000, for those who can, and there are many who can. Make that phone call, 212-209-2950, and you can make a pledge. Or if you want to pledge at the $100 level, we have a package. And that package includes a CD, an interview conducted by my co-host, Paulette Spencer, of Ray McGovern. And it was a fabulous interview in which he spoke a lot about the controversies of the CIA, and he also did a commentary on torture, political torture. Maybe Paulette could explain a little bit more about what that interview was about, because I remember when the report came out on, what was it called?
It was the interrogation report.
The interrogation report.
It was sort of a euphemism for torture.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to get his take on the significance of this report and its findings in terms of the uses of torture throughout his political career. Mm-hmm. And so he really was very generous with his time and really talked about the different ways in which the media distorts information that they get from people under torture, and the futility of using torture as a means for getting information.
Right.
And towards the end, I asked him really about his ethical motivations, and I thought that was really quite powerful when he revealed his dedication to serving the poor. And it was a very, very rich and lively conversation, and he gave us a really good span of the all the administrations he's worked under, of his 27 years as an analyst for the CIA and briefer for different presidents, mm-hmm. and how he really saw the flaws in what was going on. And I suppose these were the steps that led him to become an anti-war activist.
That's right. And we are offering you this CD alone for a pledge of $35. So that's very reasonable for our late night listeners and community here at WBAI. So for your $35 pledge to support WBAI, we'll thank you with a CD of the interview. And if you can pledge at the $100 level, you'll receive a package which also includes a DVD speaking freely by Ray McGovern on the corruption of U.S. intelligence. And it introduces Ray McGovern as having served as a CIA analyst for 27 years, and he speaks candidly about the creation of the agency, the deceit that led to the invasion of Iraq, the questionable characters of George Tenet, and more. In stark frankness, McGovern examines the politicization of the Central Intelligence Agency and how it came to be an entity that serves the White House agenda instead of one that serves up the unbiased truth. Disgusted by the lack of integrity exhibited by members of the intelligence community and U.S. government, McGovern retired and eventually created VIPS, Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity, an organization dedicated to exposing the mishandling of important intelligence, particularly with regard to the war in Iraq. And this DVD would be yours for your $100 pledge. So when you call 212-209-2950, that's 212-209-2950, you can ask for the Ray McGovern DVD and CD package for a $100 pledge, or you can ask for the Ray McGovern interview for a $35 pledge. And we're going to share some clips from this material this morning. But before getting to that, I want to spend a moment to encourage you, because I know how it gets, the later or the earlier, depending on how you look at it, it gets, the harder it becomes. So be the ones that are going to call right now, 212-209-2950, a $35 pledge for those of you who are able to pledge at that level. Maybe that's the limit of what you can do, but there are many, many, many of you who could do a $100 pledge, and we're asking you to do that right now by calling 212-209-2950. You can also go to our donation site, give2wbai.org, and that's using the number 2, give2wbai.org. But the best thing for all of us in this moment is for you to really take the time to go to your phone. Most of you already have your phone in your hand, and you can call 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950, and show your pledge of support for WBAI by making that phone call.
And
Catherine, also,
yes.
I also wanted to ask, could you mention the mailing address? Because that's one thing I really wish producers would mention, because in some cases it's like, look, just mail us a check directly as well. I mean, that's
well,
not me.
That would be fine. The address of WBAI is WBAI/Pacifica, and you would want to write out your check or money order in that way as well. And it's 388 Atlantic Avenue, 3rd floor, Brooklyn, New York, 11217. And be kind enough to write on the package, if you want one of these premiums, or write on the bottom of your check, you're interested in the Ray McGovern package, $100, or Ray McGovern interview, $35 pledge. And that would be another way of doing it. And also, when you do call the number 212-209-2950, you can ask them to send an invoice, and an invoice will be sent, and you can later send your check or money order. You can honor your pledge with your cards. It could be debit or credit card. And even for those who want to pledge at the $100 level, maybe you want to do it installments. You can do that as well. So there's every opportunity to support WBAI, and we provide you the ability to do that, to show your support. And we're asking you to do that now, 212-209-2950. You're supporting the legacy, and you're supporting the future, and you're giving BAI an opportunity to really get back on its feet. We're in this new studio here in Brooklyn. Everyone is united into one space, rather than having the broadcast in one area and the staff house somewhere else. This is a lovely facility to have meetings, to have listeners come in, to do volunteering. It's a real community that's growing here on Atlantic Avenue, and we want for you to be a part of it, but we also need for you to support it. 212-209-2950. $35 pledge for the interview with Paulette Spencer, Ray McGovern, 2015 interview, is a $35 pledge. And for your $100 pledge, you can receive Ray McGovern, The Corruption of U.S. Intelligence DVD, with the CD interview. And this is really, as such as it is, a really good package for what we're asking you to pledge. It's a lot of material. It's very inspirational and informative. If you're one of those people who have family who don't believe that Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11, then this is something you need to share with your fellows. Yes, go ahead, Jeremiah.
I was just going to say, you know, I try to point out to people, because I really think it's important we all understand that, you know, this kind of information, specifically like what's being presented here, is game-changing information. It's a sea change in the sense that we've now reached a point where you have the accounts of McGovern, you have Thomas Drake, you have William Binney, you have Chelsea Manning, you have any number of people who are coming from within the security apparatus and saying that things are totally out of control. I mean, Thomas Drake said that basically the security apparatus within the country is a cancer to the body politic and a cancer to the Constitution. I mean, you have people from within the NSA, from within CIA in this case, saying in totally direct terms what's going on. And that's a lot different than, you know, relying on revolutionary theorists, if you will, or relying on the accounts of dissident historians and all the effort to discredit that goes into, you know, that goes into discrediting individuals such as that. Now you have people from within the apparatus. It's beyond controversy. It's what's going on.
And I think it actually speaks a lot to the seriousness with which they take a station like WBAI and Pacifica in general, that they will actually speak to us.
I agree. That's a great point.
That is true. And also, it's reached a point at right now where this truth is really blowing up in the mainstream. You know, you're seeing the stories now of the corruption of government, the corruption of these agencies, but also the corruption of the mainstream media is really what's being illustrated here, and how the dominance and the control of the primary networks have been used to manipulate the American people and create havoc across the globe. And so without Pacifica having been here through all this, we might not be where we are. You know, so there's a real positive outcome to the relentless plugging away at these stories that takes place here at WBAI and Pacifica. And we need to continue that work. And this is why it's important for you to make that phone call. Those of you who are with us in spirit, in mind, in intent, in understanding, to support this work. You're being called to do this. And the number to call, actually, is 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. So it would be good, I think, probably to go to some of this material at this point. And so, Jeremiah, if you have anything you want to share before going to the material, and then we'll come back in a while and do some more pitching.
Well, let me just double-check, first of all, on that mailing address. Is that 388 Atlantic Avenue, 3rd floor, Brooklyn, New York, 11317?
112,
okay.
11217.
11217.
Yeah, 388.
Yeah, we encourage you to get the premium. I personally do. It's really important information. But, you know, you can send a check directly to that address. You can go to the website, give to WBAI.org, whatever means is best for you, but we strongly encourage you donate, because, you know, apathy is not a good thing, and, you know, BAI is about us being proactive, but first of all, we have to sustain our home base, which is the station itself, so we can engage in all these other vast dialogues. So, yeah, I would love to hear the material, but I cannot encourage people enough to call 212-209-2950.
Exactly. Well, thank you. Thank you, Jeremiah. Thank you, Paulette. And I want to thank all of you who are making those phone calls at 212-209-2950. And if you know folks who can make those calls as well, you know, get them on the line and encourage them to do it. Send out a tweet or, you know, get on your social media and ask people to make that phone call or to send that check in the mail to support WBAI, 212.
You know what, I'll say, I know people have had some problems with the premiums in the past. You know, I, for one, you know, I've donated many times, and some premiums have taken a little longer to arrive. You know, that's not the point. Guys, it's not about commercial material goods. You know, I mean, I just got a premium that from, you know, from a while ago, and I was so thrilled to get it. I mean, the timing was perfect. You know, I'm a big believer in better late than never. So BAI is improving, from what I understand, from what I've noticed, in terms of getting the premiums out. But please don't use that excuse either. You know, it's like you'll get your premium, but it's not about the premium. We should all understand that as adults. You know, it's not about just
exactly.
a DVD or a CD. I mean, there's a million books to read. There's a million great DVDs. There's information on the internet. We're talking about supporting this station. I mean, let's be clear about that.
I do agree with you, and I thank you for that. And it's one of the reasons that I love to offer things that are homegrown, that are work we've produced here. We can duplicate and send out. And so this CD is like one of these programs or one of these gifts that really cost nothing. The full $35 pledge will come to the station, and we can duplicate and send it out, so people will get that fairly quickly. But also, if you're not interested in this particular gift, ask for whatever you might want to ask for. Maybe you heard something earlier. Maybe you want to get a health package, or maybe you want to get some other political package that you heard, or maybe one of the music programs. It's fine. The idea is to, we collectively, we're working together. It's a family supporting WBAI, and you are part of that. You're part of this family, and your support makes all the difference, because it's in our numbers, in the collective numbers, that we are able to further our work and have a greater impact in the world itself. So make your phone call.
Yeah, and also, you know, I encourage people to, after you make your donation, then go to social media and say that you did so, you know, and actively talk to people in your network, in your community, in your family, and say, I support community radio, and I would really like you to think about doing the same.
And this would help a great deal, because nobody has money for advertising dollars here. But if those of you who are listening work to help us promote the station, we would probably have a lot less fund drives, because there'd be more people to contribute.
Yeah,
so that's a beautiful solution.
I've turned people onto the station who have thanked me from the bottom of their heart. So people are interested in the truth. It's quite astonishing for some people at first when they hear this station, but I've turned many people on to BAI, and I'll continue to do so, because, I mean, you know, it's some of the things that you'll hear on the station are riveting.
I've done the same, and I remember when I first started listening in the early 90s, and I was working in an office then, I would hear these things on the station. I'd go and tell my boss, and I remember, you know, having interns in the office and telling them they, you know, need to listen to this stuff on the radio. And years later, I meet up with these people who were these interns, and I go to parties, and they're saying, and it was Paulette who told me about BAI, and I told my wife, and we were listening. And so word does travel. And I think that is absolutely the way to spread the word about the importance of WBAI.
Excellent.
With your neighbor.
All right, so I'm going to just give that number one more time. It's 212-209-2950. I take that back. One more time is not going to be enough. 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950. We're going to go to our first clip of the interview, and it is really an introduction to the whole theme. Paulette Spencer is speaking with Ray McGovern, so stay tuned, and then we will continue to encourage you to make your phone calls. 212-209-2950, $100 pledge for the McGovern package, Ray McGovern, The Corruption of U.S. Intelligence DVD and CD, $100 pledge, and a $35 pledge for the Ray McGovern 2015 interview with Paulette Spencer. So let's go to the audio tape, and then we'll be back in just a moment or two. And welcome. You're listening to WBAI Radio in New York, 99.5 FM, WBAI.org.
I'm Catherine Davis in studio with Paulette Spencer, and you are listening to our interim program, Earth at Midnight. And I want to say hello to Paulette. She's going to be featuring a very special guest this day.
Yes, good evening, Cassie.
Good evening.
And we're quite proud to be able to present an evening with Mr. Ray McGovern, who works with Tell the World, a publishing arm of the Ecumenical Church of the Savior in inner city Washington. Mr. McGovern served as an Army Infantry Intelligence Officer and then served as a CIA analyst from the administration of John F. Kennedy to that of H.W. Bush. Mr. McGovern's duties included chairing the National Intelligence Estimates and preparing the President's Daily Brief, which he briefed one-on-one to President Ronald Reagan's most senior national security advisors from 1981 to 1985. In January 2003, Mr. McGovern helped create the Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity, VIPS, to expose the way intelligence was being falsified to justify the war in Iraq. And so with that introduction, I'm quite proud to speak to Mr. McGovern.
Good evening, or good morning.
Good morning. And thank you so much for taking this time to speak with us live, Mr. McGovern.
My pleasure.
Last week, I sort of mentioned that there was this release of the report from the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence regarding the enhanced interrogation techniques. And I wanted to spend some time speaking to you about it and your sense of what the significance is of the discussions that are going on now. I was able to listen to your exchange with Peter Hoekstra on the Central China TV station, and I also listened to Dick Cheney's interview on Meet the Press last Sunday, in which both Hoekstra and Cheney defended the practices. And I wanted just to get a sense of what you think of that in the larger picture.
Sure. Well, Paulette, it's been an extraordinary week. To have the vice president defend torture and say he'd do it again. And for me to have a chance to confront one of the few people in Washington who could have and was duty-bound under his duties under the Constitution to oversee CIA and make sure that these abuses didn't happen. He, too, is defending them, singing the same tune as Cheney. And luckily, I was right there next to him and could ask him some questions and offer him some outs to say that he didn't really know the extent of it. But no, he said, I know, and I checked with my staff, and they tell me that the Senate Intelligence Committee report, we know 90 to 95% of the stuff in there. Yeah, we know, we all, I couldn't believe it. So you're admitting that? And he said, yeah, of course, yeah. So torture. Said, no, enhanced interrogation techniques. Now, probably some in your audience, at least, don't know the derivation of the phrase enhanced interrogation techniques. But actually, people might be surprised to know that it's a literal translation of Verschärfte Vernehmung, which is the German words for Verschärfte, shortened or enhanced, and Vernehmung is what they use for interrogation. And that is the heading over the chapter in the Gestapo handbook for torture techniques. Verschärfte Vernehmung. So, I'm not suggesting that the perpetrators or the devisers of these things looked directly at the Gestapo manual, but isn't it ironic that the same words we used, and not only that, Paulette, but the same techniques. So after World War II, when this manual was captured, we had the actual techniques listed under Verschärfte Vernehmung, and they turned out to be pretty much identical to what the U.S. was doing under George Bush and Dick Cheney, with a few enhancements. Okay, so enhanced Verschärfte Vernehmung. Anyhow, that's sort of an indictment, and we thought we were finished with that. And after the war, of course, countries got together and devised and passed, and we ratified and signed the UN Convention Against Torture, which says explicitly nothing, not war, not rumors of war, not insurrection, not terrorism, nothing can be an extenuating circumstance to allow people to violate this convention. Now, Ronald Reagan, to his credit, pushed the U.S. to sign it. The Senate agreed in 1984. I guess it was Bill Clinton signed it. So, you know, there it is. We are bound by that convention under international law, also bound by the Geneva Conventions. But when George Bush said he wanted to torture people, then the head of the CIA saluted smartly, went out and found some thugs that would do it for him. A terrible chapter in our nation's history.
As you bring up Ronald Reagan, I did a bit of research as I wanted to get a sense of what the political climate was like at the time that he signed off on the Convention Against Torture. And I learned that at that point in his administration, there were terms used to describe critics of U.S. foreign policy, especially in regard to the Cold War at the time. And I came across the term moral equivalence.
Yeah, right. I know what you're referring to. Yeah, Ronald Reagan had this strange idea that these thugs that they hired to overthrow the Nicaraguan government, or at least to try to do so, that they were the moral equivalent of our founding fathers. These are the people who are destroying life, liberty, and everything else in Nicaragua, and running drugs into Los Angeles and other major cities in our country. I mean, Ronald Reagan said a lot of heavily ironic things. This has to rank up among the top of that list.
Because what I understood a bit further was that there was, to a certain extent, that sense of moral equivalence kind of morphed into perceptions of American exceptionalism.
Well, yeah. We really have to accredit, if that's the right word, accredit a Democratic administration for the claim that the U.S. is the sole indispensable country in the world. Now, you know, we had this manifest destiny sort of idea, and the first people, the first whites that came to these shores, of course, thought themselves very special, and biblically inspired, and so forth. But not until Madeleine Albright came in as the Secretary of State for Bill Clinton, not until she came in did we have this sort of codified in her and other speeches where we are the indispensable country in the world. And, you know, as I go around talking in colleges and sometimes high schools, I have a little fun. You know, I say, do we still teach what antonyms are? And usually there's one or two there that say, yeah, I know. What is it? It's opposite, right? Okay, so, all right, so we're the sole indispensable country in the world. Now, what's the opposite of indispensable? And they sort of scratch their heads, and somebody says, well, dispensable? Yeah, right. So, by definition, all other countries in the world are what? They say, dispensable? I say, yeah. If we're the sole, you know, it's simply a syllogism, or as night follows the day. So if that's the way we look at other countries, well, number one, we don't buy any goodwill. We have been since the end of World War II, when we actually entered the international stage. And, you know, people don't really understand where we were at that point. Let me just take you back to 1946, 47, 48. The war had been won. Russia had been destroyed. Germany had been destroyed. Most of France had been destroyed. England suffered heavy losses. We emerged then as the sole superpower in the world. It was then, not later. We were challenged by the Soviet Union for several decades. But we adopted a policy right after the war, and I have the policy document. It was the Policy Planning Council of the State Department, newly established under the National Security Act of 1947. And it was written by George Kennan, of the Soviet Union, a real specialist and a good one on Russia and the Soviet Union. And what did it say? Well, it said, here we are. We're only 6.3% of the world's population, but we control 50% of the world's natural resources. So, in developing our policy, we can't be, you know, we can't be enslaved to concepts of human rights or altruistic notions like that. No, our policy has to be devised in such a way as to maintain this equilibrium, this lack of balance. In other words, we need to do what we have to do to maintain our share of the world's wealth, which happens to be 50% at present, 1948, and even though we only represent 6.3% of the world's population. Well, okay, and that's what our policies were aimed to do. And, of course, when the upstart Iranian freely elected for the first time premier, Mossadegh in Iran, and when he was elected and said, you know, I think that, yeah, this sounds like a good idea. I think maybe the Iranian people should get most of the wealth that comes from the oil as they use their soil. And then, of course, the British Secret Service and the CIA said, well, we have to deal with this kind of upstart. And they overthrew him. Everyone knows that. That happened in 1953. So when Kennan finishes up this little paragraph in his Policy Planning Council paper, he says, we're going to have to resort by and by to hard power, not soft power. We're going to have to recognize that because we can't be diverted by altruistic notions of civil rights and of human rights, is the way he puts it. I was shocked to read that, and I didn't learn that in college or in graduate school. I learned that much later. But it does sort of throw a light on what U.S. policy has been and continues to be, and helps people understand why it was that we went into Iraq in 2003.
Just to return to the way that the UN Convention on Torture was interpreted a certain way by certain attorneys general that led to the green light for the powers that be to torture these persons under U.S. watch over the period between 2002 and 2009 is covered in this report. I wanted to ask, what were the changes to the interpretation that permitted that torture or the enhanced interrogation techniques to take place?
Mm-hmm. Well, these were devised under Reagan. His people sort of said, well, now, wait a second, we've got these techniques that can be sort of bloodless. You know, they're sort of psychological or mental or, you know, techniques that don't show scars. And so let's see if we can do the equivalent of a signing statement. You know, presidents often put a little signing statement on legislation that they're signing rather than vetoing, by saying, well, this is what this means and this is what this doesn't mean. The Reagan administration proposed language very much in that sense and distinguished between physical torture and mental torture. That's a sort of short way of saying it. And the mental, they kind of flip-flopped and said, well, maybe, you know, mental shouldn't be included here. And so the reservation really pretty much says, well, you know, we don't buy that mental torture can be that prohibited. And that, of course, allowed the terrific research that had been done by universities as well as intelligence agencies to have some prospect of being implemented. So long story short, when Clinton came in, he took those reservations lock, stock, and barrel. He didn't change a semicolon, and they went along with the ratification of the treaty. So the smart lawyers, and they're always real smart, they cite that as giving the United States some sort of exemption so that we can torture people mentally, but not physically. Now, that doesn't stand up, because there are U.S. statutes that also prohibit this kind of torturous behavior, mean or degrading or inhuman treatment. And so it's one of these semantic things, one of these things that that smart lawyers, and I use a smart with quotes around it, lawyers with a brief to allow these kinds of things, the kind of semantics that they use as loopholes to, quote, justify, end quote, torture techniques. Now, Paula, let me just take one step back here.
Sure.
As you might be able to tell, I feel really strongly about this stuff. I was an Army officer 50 years ago, and I went through all the training, and I knew how interrogations had to be conducted, and I knew how I was to act if I were captured. And, you know, it just pains me greatly to see the U.S. military pretty much corrupted by this this kind of attitude that, well, no, we're preeminent, we're indispensable, and we can do what we want. Other countries really shouldn't torture, but we can. And what I like to say is that everything is being argued these days. It's being argued from a utilitarian point of view. In other words, this doesn't work. Just don't you do turn up any good information on that. Well, I'd like to address that later. But first off, and far more important in my view, in my moral universe, is the fact that torture is just dead wrong, okay? When I studied ethics in college, I went to Fordham University in New York, and we had at it, you know. We tried to develop categories of actions and rubrics to figure out what category they went in. And there was one category I remember very distinctly. It was called intrinsic evil, okay? Hmm. Always wrong, never permitted. And into that category was rape, slavery, and torture. In other words, it was beyond anyone's ken, and certainly beyond anyone's moral right, to, quote, authorize, end quote, somebody to rape someone else, or to authorize someone to enslave someone else, and to authorize, and that's the, you know, that's the word they've been using down here in Washington. We have to have the necessary authorities so that we can, so to authorize someone to torture another. Human beings don't do those things to other human beings. That is clear. You don't have to be a believer in Almighty God or anything like that. Humans know that they don't do that to another human being unless they are taught to regard the other human being as subhuman, literally. So what I'm saying here is to me, very important that once you start, you know, getting down the next level, whether it works or not, well, that's you should have that conversation. But before you talk about whether torture works or not, and this is hardly ever adverted to in the conversations today, you need to just say, well, is it moral? Is it the way a human being should act toward another human being? And so what I'm saying here is that torture is not wrong because there are laws against it, because there's a UN Convention against Torture that we signed on to. That's not why torture is wrong. It's the other way around, okay? There are laws, and there's the UN Convention against Torture because it's wrong, because countries recognize it to be wrong after the Gestapo finally vanished from the face of the earth, thank goodness. So, in my view, in my worldview, that's an important distinction. If you come from the moral kind of universe that says, well, you know, you can't authorize terrible things like rape or slavery or torture, then you're in a completely different moral category than I am. But I'm still willing to, you know, to engage in conversation as to whether it works. But I always try to set the stage by saying, look, I don't think we should be having this conversation prima facie, because torture is so wrong, recognized having been wrong, and then laws against it, not because somebody dreamed up the laws, but because it was wrong and they needed to codify the wrongness of this procedure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And you're listening to WBAI Radio in New York City, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. And I'm Catherine in studio with
Paulette Spencer.
There was a little bit of reverb there because I didn't turn down the audio.
Oh.
And we have Jeremiah back on the line. Hello, Jeremiah.
Hello. Incredible work, Paulette. That was really remarkable.
Thank you.
Yes, I agree. It was. It's and it is. It's a long interview, and we want to share more of it with people. But we do need to reach out to you for your phone calls, 212-209-2950. It's always a little difficult sometimes during the fund drive to encourage people to make these calls, especially when it's 1 a.m. in the morning, 2 a.m. in the morning. But I know that you are up for it. Those of you who are tuned in recognize the importance of this material, and you can support that. Let the station know that this is what we need to be doing here at WBAI by showing your support. 212-209-2950. And if you can make a pledge of $35 to support WBAI, you'll receive the full interview of Ray McGovern, the 2015 interview with Paulette Spencer, for your $35 pledge of support. For those of you who can pledge at the $100 level, you'll receive the package. It includes the CD interview plus the DVD, Ray McGovern, The Corruption of U.S. Intelligence. But first, you must make the call, 212-209-2950. You can go to the website, give2wbai.org. And for those of you who are in a state of maybe you're already, you know, under the covers, you know, remember that this is what you can do first thing in the morning. Go to your phone, go to your website, and look up, go to give2wbai.org and type into the search button, Ray McGovern, and these will come up. And you can make your pledge, or you can make that phone call at any time, 212-209-2950. So you're not off the hook.
Although most Americans sleep with their cell phones by their beds.
So well, this is true. That's what I was saying.
Radio, just pick up the phone and call now.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to put that out there, but you're so right. Most nowadays, most Americans have the cell phones very close. And that's a whole other discussion I won't have at the moment. But it's 212-209-2950 is your number to call to show your support.
And I mean, I hope, you know, anyone who is up listening to the radio at this time of night could hear the quality of that content. I mean, that's a really important discussion. And I was so impressed at how clearly he spoke on the matter, you know. I mean, his credentials are enough. But, I mean, he spoke very compellingly, and I think that idea of intrinsic evil is something that was, you know, that really hit me. You know, this notion, in, for example, with all these extrajudicial killings that we're seeing the police carrying out around the country,
mm-hmm.
You know, I, for one, as a citizen, I'm just really appalled that there's not a bigger problem on face value with the idea of the police carrying out extrajudicial killings. You know, that to me, I wouldn't say it's intrinsic evil. For example, I think there was some intrinsic evil demonstrated in some of those national cases.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying to listen to this kind of material really orients the BAI listener for discussions with one's friends, family, discussions within one's community. And that's why it's really important, you know, to actually partake in this information and partake in the station by supporting it, not just by listening, but by making a contribution to this station so we could sustain it.
But I would also add that I think that the conversation we had is maybe an example of the strength of the legacy that WBAI has, where people like Mr. McGovern believe that the station has a certain credibility that they feel that they can come and speak quite frankly to people here at the station, and that there's a very strong foundation on which the station is built. I think that is, in and of itself, is worth supporting for the sake of keeping that energy alive.
Absolutely, and you know, what would CNN have done if Ray McGovern approached them? They would have said, that's a story we don't tell.
Right. So true. And he actually speaks about that a little bit further along in the interview, the how bereft the American press is compared to world press.
Yeah, and it's quite true. I mean, the state of the mainstream media at this point is contemptuous of the public, if we notice that. I mean, I simply can't watch it myself because it's literally contemptuous of the viewer. And, you know, I just think we should just start ignoring them. I think, you know, if it was up to me, a lot of these big pop stars, they would be broke because I just wouldn't buy the record. McDonald's would go out of business. A lot of these places just stop supporting them commercially and start really looking towards your own community. Who makes clothes in your community? Where does the good food come from? And that includes BAI. You know, that list of fundamental things that you can support within your own community that will also support you in kind.
That's right. Food for the mind, food for the spirit, food for the body. That is very, very true. And I think it's important for all of us to realize that we can make a contribution for something that is feeding the change, the global change that's taking place in the world. Because in truth, things are changing. It seems very chaotic, and it is very chaotic, but the landscape is very different now than it was 10 years ago. You know, in terms of people, whistleblowers coming out, like you said, Jeremiah, but also in terms of there being so many different choices of media that stories are escaping that trap, you know, from being trapped behind closed doors in a way that's really waking people up to the truth of what's happening. And it's only when we're awake that we can make those decisions that are going to make a difference. As you said, maybe it's time to stop wars by not supporting on an economic level, pulling the investments out. We learned that in changing the apartheid system in South Africa. We need to do this on every level. But by the same token, we also need to support those things that are creating the sustaining power of change and healing within the world. I regard this work as very spiritual work, and there is a part of the interview where Ray McGovern talks about his spiritual strength and how that plays into the choices he makes. And so being spiritual is not just sitting on a mat with crossed legs and, you know, oming endlessly. It's also something that needs to come through every decision we make. And one of the ways that you can be a holistic and spiritual being is to sustain those things that are making a difference in the world. And it's, in fact, the only way that we've come this far or that we can go any further. 212-209-2950. And we are approaching the 1.5 hour of this program. And so I think we really need to push these last 15 minutes of this break. We'll be back, but we want to push for you to please make that phone call in these 15 minutes, 212-209-2950, because that means that your support will go into the tally of this program and that we will be able to you know, come in next time and say we made a contribution to WBAI through this effort. But we recognize it's a joint effort. We need your cooperation. 212-209-2950. 2950 pledge at the $35 level for the Ray McGovern 2015 interview with Paulette Spencer, or pledge at the $100 level for the package. Ray McGovern, The Corruption of U.S. Intelligence DVD with CD interview, and that's a $100 pledge. 212-209-2950.
And there are no other places that I know of that would house such conversations here on, I would say, New York City radio. And I think we all were pleasantly surprised when Mr. McGovern agreed to talk longer than your average interviewer would. And that's something that's quite special. And for him to relax into the conversation that way and give us a bit of a snapshot into his personal history and his personal beliefs that motivate him to do what he does, despite any attacks he may have to shield himself from, I think is quite powerful. And if you agree with us that it is powerful and this is a very important tool for education, not just about current affairs, but about history and about what true giving and receiving is, I would strongly ask you to contact us, call us at 212-209-2950.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I think for those of you who aren't familiar with the WBAI website, you know, you go to WBAI.org, you click on archives on the upper right-hand portion of the screen, and there's, you know, your digital dossier of information, basically. You have so much available to you. It's a really great resource. You know, BAI is a university. You know, I encourage people to donate and also to utilize it properly and utilize it fully. If you miss a show, it's not like old school radio. You can go back and listen to the archives, and it's really a treasure. And the beauty of it is, you know, in this day and age where everyone's so hyped about how much information is out on the internet, you know what? There's also a lot of bogus information on the internet. There's also a lot of people who aren't credentialed, but they have a glossy presentation. There's a lot of memes with statistics being quoted. Well, you know, who did the research? Who are you citing? You know, there's a lot of just things being claimed and thrown out. There's a lot of Discordianism going on out there. There's people who literally are just disseminating misinformation for fun. There's an actual school of thought around that whole thing. So BAI gives you a central hub where you can listen to a program, you can rewind if you have to, and you can cite where you're getting your information from. You know, and that's really important, that we're just intelligent, oriented people in a very confusing world. We have to say, no, we're not going to be confused. We see what's going on. We hear what's going on. We know where we get our information from. We're not going to be duped with the same old stuff. We're going to be educated, responsible citizens, and it starts with where you get your information from. So, you know, I mean, I don't know what else I could say on this given evening, but please support this radio station. You'll be making a great decision, and it's a very cool thing to do. I mean, what time is it? It's 1:20 in the morning. I think it's very cool. You know, we started out talking about music. I play rock music. I play funk music. And, you know, part of the whole vibe of being a musician is being cool. And I think it would be a really cool thing for you to do if you donated to a radio station such as WBAI at 1:20 in the morning.
And I think it's extremely important to look at BAI as also a place where not only your intellect is respected, but who you are on a spiritual level is too, through the rich food of music, such as Jeremiah's, and the wealth of information that you're given that doesn't speak down to you, result in you knowing even less after the conversation than you did before the conversation. And I think that says a lot in terms of the value of the station in general.
And the number to call is 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. And really, we're not asking for a bucket full of dollars from any one individual. It's your collective effort that really makes the difference. So we're asking you to make a pledge in an amount that is sustainable for you and your needs and expenses, with all those things being considered. And this is why we have the two-tier level of gift for you, the $35 level. If you can pledge $35 when you call 212-209-2950, you'll receive the full CD interview with Ray McGovern. If you can pledge at the $100 level, you'll receive the package, which includes the DVD and CD for your pledge of support. And remember, you can honor that pledge in any way you like. You can ask for an invoice and send a check or money order. You could use a card, either check, credit, or debit. Either one is fine. You can pay your pledge in installments if you like. And you can make a pledge without needing a premium. Many people do. Just call and say, I want to make a pledge to support WBAI. And it could be $10. It could be $100. It could be $1,000. Because you understand the value of what you're listening to when you tune on to the dial 99.5 FM. 212-209-2950. You could do the same by going to the website give2wbai.org, or you might want to become a WBAI buddy, a BAI buddy, we call it. And I believe, you know, there's a one person who becomes a buddy before June 1st. Out of that number, one person is going to get one of these new Mac watches or whatever, the new modern digital watch. I suppose you think of it as a spy watch. But 212-209-2950. You could make an ongoing donation to support WBAI at any level. So there are so many ways for you to make a difference. But that starts with your action, with your doing something and taking responsibility for the whole of our endeavor here at WBAI. 212-209-2950. And I'm going to go back to a bit more of the program, and I want to share more of this interview because it's really a fascinating and wonderful interview. So we'll be going back to that
as well. You know, I want to say that, you know, I for one am going to, when we get off the air, I'm going to call 212-209-2950, and I'm going to buy this particular premium myself, because I just want to support what Paulette Spencer has done. I think it's really remarkable, you know, and I think it's really important that, you know, we support our brothers and sisters when they do the real work in real time. You know, it's really cute to be on Facebook and all that stuff, but when people do real journalism or make real music or do real work, you know, let's support them. And I'm really about that. So, you know, just in the spirit of that, I'm going to, myself, I put my money where my mouth is. I'm going to call in and buy this premium as soon as we're off the air.
Terrific. And a lot of folks can do that. The number is 212-209-2950. Thank you so much, Jeremiah, for your support in this and also for making that pledge. We need
absolutely.
That.
And I'm proud to make the pledge, and I'm not rich by any means. You know, I work, I run around all day long. I started out in Jersey City, New Jersey. I was in the Bronx, Brooklyn, and then Manhattan by noon. So, you know, I'm running all around the place. I work hard, but I have no problem donating my hard-earned money to WBAI. I know what I'm endorsing. I know what I'm supporting. And, you know, I'll be thrilled when the premium arrives, but I'm not doing it for the premium. I'm doing it for the station. Although, actually, I'm sorry, I did say I am doing it for the premium as well in this case, because Paulette's great work.
But, thank you.
There's
thank
a special you. Sentimental and, you know, personal value and quality in what I'm getting with this premium. But at the same time, we have to sustain the station. That's the baseline point that we always need to reiterate, and you know, can't say it enough, because this is the real deal. I mean, I grew up in New York. I've seen one, I'm sad to say, institution, venue after another get closed down because, you know, in this ruthless capitalist climate that we're in, if you're not trying to sell 10 million hamburgers an hour, or you're not trying to sell, you know, overpriced electronics equipment, then, you know, you're supposed to be a non-entity. But, you know, we have to sustain the things that are ours, and BAI is ours. We can proudly and happily say that. So that's why I'm donating, and I encourage everyone to dial 212-209-2950 and tell your friends to do the same.
Excellent. Thank you. 212-209-2950. And I'm going to go back to some more of this interview so that you can hear a little bit more and be encouraged that this is something that is of great value, not just the premium itself, but the radio station, the medium that you are listening to, WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org. And many of you tuning in for Hour of the Wolf, he sends his regards and would be here or have made a presentation for you were he able this evening, but I acknowledge the great work done by Hour of the Wolf and invite you to continue to listen to this program. We're speaking to you about a interview, a very special interview with Ray McGovern. And Ray McGovern, of course, is a retired analyst for the CIA, and he talks to us about what went wrong and how he has dedicated his life to making a difference. You can make a pledge of $35 for the CD interview when you call 212-209-2950. Or you can pledge at the $100 level and receive the CD interview, which took place over these airwaves, and the DVD, The Corruption of U.S. Intelligence, for your $100 pledge for the package and $35 pledge for the CD when you call 212-209-2950.
And I would like to add, you know, with that $35 offering, it's a really great opportunity if you've already made a pledge. Well, you know, $35, make a little extra pledge, you know, now that you got your more recent paycheck or whatever the case may be since your last pledge. It's a good chance to give a little sort of extra sustaining effort towards what we're doing here.
So true. Well, thank you. Thank you, Jeremiah and Paula. Thank you. So I'm so grateful that the both of you have joined me this evening. And I'm going to play a little bit more. And we will continue to encourage people to show their support for WBAI. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this.
Thank you. One other question I have is, therefore, what do you make of the reaction that you've seen from persons such as Dick Cheney and Pete Hoekstra towards torture?
Well, Paulette, they are arguably war criminals. Dick Cheney, for example, he was the, what's the word, the éminence grise, you know, the person behind Bush and the others when they decided to make war in a country that posed no threat to us at all. That was Iraq, of course. What's it been? 11 years almost. 11 years more. It was March 20th, 2003, that we attacked Iraq. Now, that attack on Iraq, together with our British friends, is properly described as a war of aggression, the kind of war that the UN Charter strictly forbade. There was no imminent threat to us, and the Security Council had not ruled that the war was possible. So it's against the UN law. But more important, it fit the description of this war of aggression defined at Nuremberg, OK? Okay, so a year after the end of World War II, and it was defined very carefully, and this is what the definition was, is still, a war of aggression is the supreme international crime, differing from other war crimes only insofar as it contains the accumulated evil of the whole period, end quote. Accumulated evil. Well, think torture. Think kidnapping. Think putting people in black prisons without telling their wives or their children or much less the Red Cross where they are, how long they've been there. Think of all those things. And you see what Nuremberg meant when it talked about a war of aggression embracing this accumulated evil of the whole. And so that's what Dick Cheney and George Bush are guilty of. And there's no doubt in my mind that that qualifies. Well, I just told you what Nuremberg said. They call it the supreme international crime, differing from other war crimes only in this manner of accumulated evil. So Dick Cheney can't risk leaving this country, nor can George W. Bush, to go to any place other than maybe Canada or Mexico with an army of Secret Service agents protecting them. Why? Well, because our president, President Barack Obama, has refused to discharge his constitutional duty to see that the law is faithfully enforced. He has famously said, oh, we're going to look forward. We're not going to look backward. And so he's let these people escape accountability. Fortunately, there's a provision in international law called universal jurisdiction. And this is a principle that allows other countries, actually requires other countries. If a fellow named Cheney shows up in Paris, they are allowed under international law to detain him, to apprehend him, to question him, and to bring him to trial for war crimes. That's the way it works. Now, people say, oh, that's the government. I said, what happened? And then I say, it's already happened. George Bush was supposed to attend a big gala celebration in Geneva 3 years ago, and he's going to give a big speech. And he was toiling over a speech, and then, unfortunately, someone told him what the Center for Constitutional Rights and several of its allies in Europe were prepared to do if he showed up in Switzerland. They were prepared to serve papers of the Swiss authorities and to detain him under the principle of the universal jurisdiction. As soon as he heard that, he canceled his plans. And because of technical problems, I don't know how he really explained it, but it was very clear that he was too afraid to go to Switzerland, even though he presumably would have brought an army of Secret Service agents with him. Now, did it happen to anybody else? Yeah, it happened to Rumsfeld a year before. Rumsfeld was a big conference in Paris, okay, and he's in the U.S. Embassy, and then he gets word some French citizen, has filed papers with the procurator in Paris, saying that Rumsfeld is a war criminal. He should be detained and questioned and so forth. And Rumsfeld, out the back door, scooting out to Charles de Gaulle Airport and getting the next plane home. So this is very real. There are a lot of CIA agents that have been convicted by the Italian court, and they can't risk going out of the country either. So that's small solace for what I think these people need to account for and the penalty that they should be subjected to. But at least it's something, and we'll see if anything else can happen. But that's, you know, the international, the countries abroad, to our shame, are the ones that can hold these people accountable in a way that our president, who, by the way, in my view, is afraid of the CIA, afraid of NSA, afraid of our security services, in a way that our president won't do because he thinks it's too risky. And we have reached one heck of a pass when, you know, a 27-year alumnus from the CIA hears himself saying that. But I've been saying that. I believe that to be the case. And if he was going to be so afraid, you know, I really think he would have done us a favor by not running for president.
What a statement. Thank you very much for that, Mr. McGovern. You mentioned war of aggression. I can't help but ask this question. Do you believe there are any wars of aggression that are happening as we speak?
Would you accept Iraq Part 3 as one of those wars? We're sending more boots on the ground, so to speak, into Iraq as we speak here. Mm. Last time I checked, there were 6,000 boots on the ground. Now, assuming that each one of our armed forces has 2 feet, then that means 3,000 actual soldiers. And there are more coming. Another 1,000 were announced just last week or so. So, yeah, we're involved in that situation where we probably should leave those people to their own devices rather than get embroiled in this civil war type thing, in this war between Sunni and Shia. Unfortunately, Bush and Cheney led us into this war, and it's very difficult to extract ourselves without admitting that we were wrong. And how can the sole indispensable country in the world admit it was wrong? I mean, ask you, Paul, does that think, you know, we don't admit we're wrong. We just keep digging the hole further. And, you know, it's going to come, as the Chinese used to say, it's going to come to a no good end. And the earlier we recognize that, the earlier we pull back and let those folks sort things out for themselves, the better.
So, Paulette, what is this piece of music we're listening to?
It's called The Cape Town Fringe, and it's performed by, at the time his name was Dollar Brand, but then he became known as Abdullah Ibrahim from South Africa.
Excellent. And you chose this as part of our legacy.
Yes, indeed. As many years ago when you had your program director, Mr. Samori Marksman, I understand that this was one of his favorite tunes.
Okay, that's cool. That's very cool. And we are back because we want to ask you to make your phone calls to 212-209-2950. And let's see if I can get rid of that feedback. Yes, this is a different studio, and I'm not quite accustomed to the manual nature of how this all works. But it's a beautiful studio, nevertheless, here in Brooklyn on Atlantic Avenue. And your support, your call to 212-209-2950... will make all the difference. 212-209-2950. I don't know if we still have Jeremiah on the line.
There.
Yeah. All right. Hi, Jeremiah.
How you guys doing?
Okay. I'm going to turn down the music just a touch more and see if I can get our levels all even. And we're going to be taking this, I think, till 2 o'clock. And hopefully those of you who are listening appreciate the work that we're doing for you here over WBAI. And we'll show your support by calling 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. And let's say it slow. 212-209-2950. Excellent. Well, sometimes I've actually gotten emails. Well, you say the numbers so fast, I can't write it down. And so I always try to slow it down for those folks who have to reach for the pen and write it down. But I think it's been heard so often, most of us have memorized it.
Oh, yeah.
212-209-2950. And make your pledge of support for your $35 pledge this morning. We can thank you with a copy, the full interview of this CD. You won't be able to hear it all this morning because it's actually quite long. 212-209-2950. If you can pledge at the 1-